All right. Well, welcome, everybody. I want to begin today with a question for you. How would you answer if someone were to ask you, what is the goal of the Christian life? How would you define the goal of the Christian life? Yeah, Sarah.
To love others.
To love others. That's a good one. Yeah. There you go. The great commandment. Go out and make disciples of all people. That's a good one. Bring glory to God. That's another one. That's a good perspective to have, right? That's the reason, the ultimate goal for all those things. Bring glory to God. Anything else? Yeah, Robbie. To be made in his image, right? To be transformed, right? To become the people he intended us to be. To be the hands and feet of Jesus, to serve him, to represent him well in this world, right? There's lots of different ways we can describe that, and those are all valid answers. There's so many different facets depending on what you focus on. And today, as we go back to Paul's letter to the Philippians and look at his prayer for the church, we're going to focus in on one of the ways that Paul describes the goal of the Christian faith. And it's really a foundational goal that covers a lot of the different specific things that we may talk about. And it's something that Jesus pointed to several times. We find it mentioned throughout the Bible. And so it's good to keep this perspective in mind as well as we think about what is our goal as Christians. So as many of you know, we've been taking a close look at Philippians chapter 1, this prayer that Paul has for the church. And so let me read that to begin with, and then we'll dive in a little bit. So Philippians 1, verses 9 through 11. And Paul says, "It is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." And so this prayer begins by asking God to make love abound more and more in us, right? That we would be filled more and more with God's love that comes from knowledge of him and insight, his wisdom. And as he prays, he says that that love is what's going to empower us to recognize and discern God's excellent path. Right, we talked about the most excellent way yesterday, or not yesterday, it's last Sunday, right? And that as we do that, as we make those kinds of choices based on our discernment from God, our knowledge of God, that we could be presented to Christ as pure and blameless. And as he continues this prayer, he mentions being filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. So as we live out this life, as we're filled with God's love, we learn to discern things in new ways, we make new choices, we live a new life, and we become filled with this fruit. So this goal that I mention here is that we would be fruitful in our life. To be a Christian, to live out this life of Christ, is to become fruitful. Many of you have probably heard this before. I think it's good, though, for us to step back again and remind ourselves, among all the things that God calls us to do, all the things that he calls us to be, one of those things is to pursue fruitfulness in life, growing in our ability to produce fruit, to gain experience with it, and follow God's path that he lays before us. And you see this call to fruitfulness expressed in several places throughout the Bible. One of those we saw in our exploration of the book of John. John 15, if you recall, is where Jesus said that he was the vine and we are the branches. In John 15:4, he says, "Remain in me and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, but it must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." So an important part of being fruitful is to remain in Christ. The true fruitfulness of life comes through him. And in John 15:8, it says, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples." And so the evidence of being a disciple of Christ is that you would be fruitful in some way. And we're going to talk about what that means in a little bit. Before Jesus started teaching, John the Baptist told people preparing for the Messiah to produce fruit in keeping with repentance. You read this in Matthew 3:8. So he called on people at that time not just to trust in their inheritance as children of Abraham. In Matthew 3:10, he says, "The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." He was saying that as a warning to the Israelites, who were just depending on the fact that they were the people of Abraham, but they weren't really living out their devotion to the Lord, their commitment to him. He's saying, don't just depend on your inheritance. And in the same way, I think that speaks to us, is don't just depend on your repentance of sin, your receiving of the gift of Christ's forgiveness. Right? The Christian life is not just lived by, we make that decision, we receive Christ, and then we're good, and we don't have to do anything else. No, we're called to produce fruit. Produce fruit in keeping with your repentance, he says. So bearing fruit comes with some effort on our part. You also find this fruitfulness expressed in the very first psalm. If you'd like to turn with me to Psalm 1, we'll read part of that. I'm going to read just the first three verses of this. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And all he does, he prospers." And so the person who delights in the Lord's law, who is diligent about understanding the Lord and living for him, is like a tree planted by a stream of water, and it yields fruit as it was designed to. The prophet Jeremiah expanded on this idea. He says that blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. That's a wonderful image of the life lived fully for the Lord. A life of peace, a life of fullness, a life of fruitfulness. And there's peace and security and confidence that comes from choosing the path of excellence that God points us to. And that produces fruit within us. It's a product. This fruitfulness is just a product of living for the Lord. And you can see how this theme of fruitfulness is woven throughout the Bible. God wants the lives we live to produce good fruit. And as I think about that, the first thing that comes to mind is that means that life is meant to be productive. We're supposed to produce something in this world. This fits with the statement that Paul made to the church in Ephesians 2:10. He says, "We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do what?" Who knows this passage? To do what? Good works. Say that. What is the last part you said? That part is, the good works part is right. Good works that he has prepared in advance for us to do. There you go. Yeah. You're God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works prepared in advance for the Lord to do. Which means that God has made us to do work. Work that honors the Lord and fulfills his plans is a gift from God. It is a gift that allows you to participate with him and his work in the world, to have a positive work or a positive impact, to be part of God's restoration and salvation plan. In Ephesians 4:8, Paul writes, "Anyone who has been stealing must no longer steal, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need." That's part of our calling in Christ, is to do something useful and productive. And notice what he says the purpose of that is, that you may have something to share with those in need. I think that's an important part of understanding the fruitfulness that God wants us to have, that it is meant for sharing. work in our world has a bad reputation. So many people want to avoid work, do the minimum amount of work. We get frustrated with our work. I've heard lots of complaints about the corporate world. And I believe a lot of this has to do with selfish motivations and sinfulness. People do establish businesses, run companies in ways that are primarily about themselves. They just want to get money for themselves, get more power, get more whatever it is. They're trying to gain something for themselves. And it's not just business owners, corporation leaders that do this. It's employees that take advantage of their employers, try to get as much as they can for themselves. They do the minimal amount of work. All that bad stuff we know about work comes from our own selfish motivations. But it's not true for all people, and it's not what God calls us to be. God calls us to be part of something bigger in this world, to do work that generates goods and services for the benefit of others, to take our calling in life as a way to provide for those around us. A life that is lived for the Lord is one that is going to produce good things in the world for the sake of others, right? And so God wants us to work at things that not only engage our gifts and grow us, but also allows us to give to someone else. Our own sinfulness and in inherent selfishness leads us toward taking. And we live in a society that's about consumption a lot, right? How many things are promoted for us to just buy and consume and take in? The mentality a lot of times is just come and take what benefits you. But that's not what God calls us to do. Whatever it is we work at, he calls us to do it to give for the sake of others, to have something, as Paul said. What did I say? To have something to share with those in need. This is part of how God provides for all of us. He works through each of us and the work that we do so that we can all be God's provision for one another. You know, there's a lot in God's word that tells us to trust the Lord for what we need. And the more we trust in him, the less we are driven by that feeling of want that drives consumption in our world. The feeling that we're lacking things, that we might miss out on something important. If we learn to trust God for our needs, know that he will provide for us. And as our trust grows more and more, as we're filled with his love and knowledge and insight, then we learn that we don't have to be driven so much by that desire of want. And we can just freely offer ourselves to God to be his hands and feet, as we talked about, in the world, for the sake of others. That we can be part of God's provision for the world. And so as you look at your own life, engage your growth as a Christian, you ought to find yourself drawn more and more toward giving of yourself for God's sake and for the sake of other people. That's the kind of work that God calls us to. Work that provides for people in need. When it comes to producing fruit, we can look at that fruit tree example in Psalm 1 for some other insights. Fruit is a natural product of a healthy tree, right? A tree growing by water has plentiful food and water, and the fruit is just produced in season. It's healthy, it's full, it's nourishing, it comes each year. When a tree has deep roots and plenty of nutrients, it does what it was created to do. It just produces fruit. And I think the same is true for us. When we're made by the Lord, we are made to be fruitful in a number of ways. Fruitfulness is a natural outcome of living the life that God intended for us. And that's a life that includes fellowship with him, a life of faith in him, a life of growing, as we've talked about, in his love and his knowledge and wisdom, a life that has been made pure by God through the grace offered by Jesus Christ. Is a life that will become fruitful. And we understand that we need Jesus. We need to remain in him. We need to be connected with him in order to produce fruit, because none of us is pure on our own. We know that we have all sinned and we've all fallen away from God's ways. It's why Jesus came. He came out of love for us because we had fallen away and we had become separated from God. Jesus came to restore that. He offers us his grace and forgiveness through his own sacrifice. He died for each one of us so that we could be forgiven and restored to him. And then through this process of growth, made healthy and pure so that we can become fruitful. If we focus our life on Christ and an obedient, if we live our life in Christ, we become pure and fruitful. Sometimes when we think about living for Christ, we begin to focus on just being obedient. We just need to obey his law. But when I think about being fruitful and what that means and what that looks like, there's, an important insight into spiritual growth that happens. I read an article where somebody who became Christian, they thought it was all about reading my Bible, going to church, praying. You know, we get the list of things we ought to be doing to show our faithfulness to God. And if we get so focused on just doing those things, we lose sight of what God is actually doing in our lives. Spiritual growth, coming close to God, learning about him, doing all those things is about becoming healthy. It's becoming the person that God intended us to be. God doesn't just offer us a way to live and says, here, follow my rules and you will live this way as opposed to any other way you could live. Sometimes I feel like we view spiritual life and spiritual growth in that way. Well, I can pick from all these different paths in life, and if I follow whatever tenets they are, I'll have the best life I can in those ways. What God is saying to us is, no, my way is the most excellent way of life. It is the best thing for you. The way to become most full and most healthy, mind, body, spirit, in all ways, is to follow the Lord's way. And as you do that, you become more and more able to produce good fruit in the world. As we increase in our devotion and understanding of Christ, we become free of past bonds that have paralyzed us. We become free of our sinful desires ruling over us. We become free to thrive as God intended us to be, to be able to produce a bountiful harvest. So the next question to ask then is, what is this fruit? What is the fruit of righteousness? When you think about being fruitful, there's another question for us to discuss. What does that mean? What is fruit when we talk about spiritual fruit in our lives? Trying to lead people to the Lord. That's a fruitful activity. Sure. Yeah. So expressing love for other people is a fruit of a good life. Yeah. How else would you define fruit? Sarah. Yeah, we'll come back to that in a second. What was Sarah going to say, though? Acts of service is fruit. Yeah. The fruit of the Spirit is what you're reciting. Does anyone here want to recite all the fruits of the Spirit from Galatians? I saw Franny's head go up. You want to go ahead? Yeah, I think you got them all. And self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I may have missed one there. Galatians. Yeah, there are nine. Galatians 5 is where Paul lists these out. Let's go ahead and read it. And that's another one of those examples. If we can memorize stuff like that and we can spout them off, but do you stop and think about what it is? And if I get caught up in trying to make sure I got all nine of them, then I might not be reflecting as much, in that moment at least, on what they truly are. Galatians 5. Man, my fingers are not working here. Galatians 5, starting in verse 22, Paul says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, he says, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And he goes on to talk about living in the Spirit, but he calls us to increase in these kinds of fruit in our life. And the way he words it is not so much of, you know, go and do these things. It's the fruit of the Spirit is. The more you live in the Spirit, the more you will produce these things. Is there any other way that you think of to define fruit? Yeah, Pat. Yeah. It's shown, I think the fruitfulness is shown in your actions, right? It ought to be an outward expression. Fruit isn't something that we just keep to ourselves, right? An apple tree doesn't hang on to the apples and say, no, they're mine. Only in the Wizard of Oz. Yeah. Yeah. It's, yeah, go ahead. That's a good one. When we're imitators of Christ and people can see Christ in us, that's fruitfulness. That your life is transformed, right? I think those fruits that Paul lists in Ephesians are good specific examples of this is fruit. This is the kind of stuff the Spirit's going to produce in you. More broadly, we can say that our life is being transformed to look more like Christ. We're maturing spiritually. We're gaining knowledge about Christ. You go back to Paul's prayer again in Philippians. You are growing more and more in the love of the Lord. You are able to discern the Lord's excellent path more easily. You're gaining experience on it. You know, it's all wrapped up in that prayer that Paul gives, that we're doing and experiencing those things more and more. That's the fruitful life. And so it's important, I think, to evaluate our own lives. Are we changing? Are we growing? Are we gaining more insight? Are we making new choices in life? Are we exhibiting the character of Christ more and more in the world? If so, then you're producing fruit. And keep at that. If you're going through a drought in your spiritual life, perhaps, what steps can you take to try to dig your roots deeper? Try to take in more nourishment from the Lord. Try to find a greater understanding of his love and his character. How can you dig in deeper into those things that will produce good fruit in your life? The water of the word is a good description, yeah. I think also of the fellowship of the Lord being part of our nourishment, right? Don't try to do this on your own. The more we separate ourselves and try to grow spiritually, the more dry the land is. We need the nourishment that God feeds us through our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, that's not to say, there are times we are alone. I just think of countless stories of people in prison for Christ, and they're on their own. And God does nourish us directly, and he is the one that we truly need. But God does provide us, our brothers and sisters, to help us grow as well. I think it's important just to evaluate your life. Are you growing in fruit? Are you producing fruit? Or is there something going on that's preventing that? And what can you do to dig in deeper into the Lord? The outcome of fruitfulness is growth and health for you. Your life becomes just fuller, more healthy. And as you're filled with that fruit, you are able to give more to others, to help them grow and help them thrive. And all of this leads you to be more and more filled with the love of God and gaining more knowledge and insight. One of the cool things about Paul's prayer in Philippians is there's a feedback loop to it. It begins with growing in love and then discerning and making new choices, which produces fruitfulness, which produces more love in your life. And you just continue that cycle over and over. It's a good path to follow, to remain on the path with the Lord and continuing to grow throughout your life. As we become fruitful, our lives overflow into those around you. And as Paul says in Philippians, as he ends that prayer, he says, this is all for the glory and praise of God. And as somebody over here pointed out, that's part of our life in Christ, is to give glory to him in all that we do. The more fruitful we are, the more we follow his way, the more we give him glory. And not only do we give him glory, the more and more people in the world give him glory as they experience his love as well. So let's consider our lives this week. How is our fruit harvest as we enter into the harvest season in this world? Are we producing fruit? How are we giving that fruit away? And what can we do to be even more fruitful in our lives? Let's give thanks to the Lord for his provision that allows us to be fruitful people. Let's pray, and then we'll sing our closing song. Lord, thank you for the love that you pour into us. Thank you for the ways that you guide us. Thank you that you have a path available to us in life that leads us to the greatest fellowship with you, the greatest fulfillment, the most secure kinds of relationships, the best kinds of choices, Lord, that not only benefit us, but benefit everyone around us. Lord, your way is excellent, and we want to choose it, Lord. And we thank you that as we choose and trust in you, that you produce such great fruit in us, that not only do we get to experience your love, that those around us experience it as well. May we be people who are generous in sharing what you have provided for us. In Jesus' name, amen.